And Daniel chapter number 3. If you're in 2 Timothy, let's begin reading with verse number 3 of chapter number 1. The Bible says, I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfringed, unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. I want you to hold your finger there, because we're going to come back to it in just a few moments. And I want you to go to Daniel chapter number 3 now. Daniel chapter number 3. This is the passage that deals with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. All of us are probably really familiar with it, but I want to read several passages from this chapter. Verse number 1, it says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, that's about 6 miles outside of Babylon, which is in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I know tonight that many of us are glad that 2020 is over. Amen. But you know, as I begin to look at 2021 and I begin to watch the news, there are some things, I have to be honest with you, that really already concerns me about what is going to take place in 2021. One of those things is, just a few months ago, the minority leader of the Senate said this. He said, "We have now won the presidency. We are fixing to take the Senate, and when we take the Senate, we are going to change America." Now, I don't know all the things that they have in planned or on their mind, but I believe some of those things is that they are going to attack our Lord Jesus Christ and our Savior. I think they are going to do everything they can to discredit the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that something else that they are going to do, they are going to try to discredit and attack the Bible. I believe that they are going to attack the church in any way they can, and we're seeing some of the symbol or some of the signs that they are doing that now in our country. I believe that they are going to attack Christians and Christianity, and I believe that they are going to attack men of God. I believe you can count on all of those things taking place this year. I don't know how severe they will be. I don't know how easy they will be, but I believe that that's some of the things that is going to take place. When you read 2 Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy. He is his son in the faith. He is trying to prepare him for the time that he is going to go off of the scene, and that Timothy is going to be the pastor of the church at Ephesus, and he is going to give him great wisdom and great insight, but also he is going to prepare him for what he is going to have to face. When you read chapter number 3 and verse number 1 in 2 Timothy, you know this verse. Paul says this, "Know this also, that in the last days perilous times are going to come." Timothy, when you start pastoring the church of Ephesus, you can just write it down that you're going to be in dangerous times. You're going to be in harmful times. Not everybody is going to love you. And then he goes on, he lists all of these characteristics about men shall be lovers of their own selves. They shall be boasters and proud and blasphemers. And verse number 4 said they shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It kind of sounds like the day and age in which we are living in. When you read chapter number 4, in chapter number 4 he says, "Timothy, when you become the pastor of the church at Ephesus, I want you to preach the word. I want you to be in season and out of season. I want you to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, because there's going to come a day when they are not going to want to hear the preaching of the word of God. They're going to heap to themselves teachers, preachers that will tell them exactly what they want to hear, what they want to hear." And so Paul is warning Timothy, hey, it's going to be difficult days ahead. When you go back to the text that we read, especially in verse number 7. In verse number 7, he starts out the text and he says, hey, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear." Hey, Timothy, when you become the pastor of that church there in Ephesus and people start coming against you and things start beginning to erode in society, I want you to understand God has not given you the spirit of cowardness. God has not given you the spirit of being timid, but he has given you a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Because Timothy, from all indications of the scripture, he was given to those things. So the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, Timothy, God's not giving you that spirit of fear, but of power. But I want you to notice what he tells him in verse number 8. Because I believe this is some of the greatest advice that you and I could have for 2021. Notice what he says. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoners, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Timothy, I want you to take a stand. Timothy, I want you to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ when you have opportunity. I don't want you to back away in cowardice or being timid. But Timothy, I want you to take a stand. I want you to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, he says, but I want you to stand up for me. Or I want you to stand up for men of God that stand for the Word of God. Timothy, I want you to stand for them. But not only that, but Timothy, I want you to stand for the gospel. I remember the old song that we sung as a teenager growing up in church, and sometimes we sing it here, that just says, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and watching unto prayer, where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. You know what we need for 2021? No matter what anybody else does, we need to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to stand up for men of God, and we need to stand up for the gospel. You don't have to turn there, but if you go to Ezekiel chapter number 22, it is very kind of a dark chapter because Jerusalem has basically turned their whole back against God. In Ezekiel chapter number 22, God is going to list all of the sins and all of the things that Jerusalem is doing against God. And in verse number 26 of that chapter, he says this, the priests have not made a difference between the holy and the profane. They have not made a difference between those things that are clean and that are unclean. And when you come to verse number 30, the Lord sends out an invitation, and this is his invitation. He said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. I believe that one of the things that God is looking for in 2021 is men and women, boys and girls, that will say, you know what, I'll stand up. I'll stand in that gap. I will make up that hedge. I will stand for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will stand for the gospel. I believe the Lord is looking for preachers all across this nation today that will stand up and say, I will be the one. I will stand up. I will make the hedge. I believe God is looking for churches that will not water down the gospel, but that will stand on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Churches that will make a difference between the holy and the profane. Churches that will make a difference between the clean and the unclean. I believe God is issuing that challenge. I sought for a man that would stand up and make up the hedge. My question to you tonight is, will you be that one? Will you be the one that will say, you know what? I will stand for the Lord Jesus Christ this coming year. If you would answer that question yes, I'm going to tell you tonight, in order to do that, you have to have the right mindset. You have to have the right mentality to do that. You can't just go through life and say, you know what, okay, I'll do it. But you've got to decide some things early on. And so when we go back to Daniel chapter number 3, and you can turn back there now, because I think Daniel chapter number 3 here is a great illustration of some men that said, you know what, we're going to stand in the gap. Hey, we're going to stand for the Lord no matter what. Now, you're familiar with the story. You know that these three Hebrew children were from Jerusalem. We know that they were taken to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar wanted to teach them in the Babylonian culture. He wanted them to learn the Babylonian language. He wanted them to become Babylonian in almost every area of their life. And then when you read chapter number 2, we won't go into it, but Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and the only one that can interpret that dream is Daniel. And because Daniel interprets that dream, Daniel is elevated in the government. But not only is Daniel elevated in the government, but Daniel asked Nebuchadnezzar, according to verse number 49 of chapter number 2, if he would elevate Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so when you read that, the Bible says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are put over the affairs of the province of Babylon. So they're becoming prosperous there in a foreign country. They are serving in the government of a foreign leader, and now they have been put in a position of experience. And so Nebuchadnezzar decides, I'm going to build this statue, this image. Some people say that between chapter 2 and chapter number 3, that there's probably 20 years that had passed. So this is not something that's just gone boom, boom. They've served in the government now for 10, 15, maybe 20 years. And so Nebuchadnezzar builds this big idol, and it's 90 foot tall. It's 9 foot wide. It's not made out of solid gold, but it is laid with gold on the outside. And so when you would look at this idol, it would be cold. And so he calls all of the big shots of the kingdom together. The Bible says that he calls the captains, he calls the governors, he calls the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and he also calls the rulers of the provinces. That would be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so they come together, and when they're all together, he sends out a herald in verse number 4. And this herald says, hey, when you hear the music, you are to bow down and you are to worship this idol. In verse number 6, he says, if you don't do that, in the very same hour that you don't, we are going to cast you into the burning, fiery furnace. And so the music is played. And when the music is played, everybody around them, the Bible says in verse number 7, that all the people, everybody that was there except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they begin to fall down and they begin to worship this golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had built. It doesn't say in this first part that these men didn't do it, but when you read verse number 8 down through verse number 14, the Chaldeans, they were astrologers, they were wise men. They decided they're going to go tell on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so they go to Nebuchadnezzar and they say, you know what, you've got these three guys over here. They're in the government. They are in charge of a lot of people. And they're not willing to bow down and worship. And if they are not going to bow down and worship, you have got a problem. But you know what the interesting thing is? Is that I pointed this out, but in verse number 6, the command was, is that if you don't bow down, the same hour you are going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. But that is not what takes place. When you read verse number 13, the Bible says Nebuchadnezzar is in his rage, he's mad. And he says not to throw him into the fiery furnace at that point, but he says, hey, I want you to bring them to me. And so they bring him to Nebuchadnezzar. And in verse number 14, the first thing that Nebuchadnezzar asks, he says, is it true? I don't think he could believe that all the things that he had done for these men, he had placed them in a very high position, and these men are not bowing down. Is it true that you're not doing that? But notice verse number 15. It's something really unusual. In that day and age, if you disobeyed the king's order, you never got a second chance. But he's going to give these men a second chance. He says, now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the music, if you will bow down, we'll just let all of this go. Hey, it'll be okay. But if you won't, we're going to throw you into a fiery furnace. And man, I love this last statement because it's funny to me. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? The true and the living God, that's who's going to deliver you out of my hands. And then when you come to verse number 16, I'm going to take these next three verses and I want to give you three things tonight that if you decide to stand, you're going to have the mentality that they had. And here's the first one. You just got to make up your mind. You've got to make the decision before the test. You got to make up your mind that no matter what, you're going to be true and faithful to the Lord. Let's read it in verse number 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. When you study out that phrase, we are not careful, it just means, you know what, we've already made up our mind. We have already settled. We already know exactly what we are going to do. We don't have to talk it over. We don't have to weigh out our options. We already know. We don't have to defend ourselves. We don't have to defend God. We've already made up our mind that no matter what, we are going to serve the true and the living God. If you're going to do right, you got to make up your mind beforehand. Because you know what? When pressure is put on you, you never know how you're going to respond to that pressure. Man, one of my favorite passages is Joshua 24 and verse number 15, where Joshua said, is for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. You know what? You don't serve the Lord by accident. At some point in your life, you just have to make up your mind that, you know what, no matter what, I'm going to serve God. Come hell or hot water, I am serving the Lord no matter what. You heard Brother Chris talk about that there was times when there was only a handful of people in this church, and most of those handful of people that was then there is still here today. What if they would have just said, you know what, man, it's not worth it anymore. We're just going to stay home. We're just going to go do one of our things. Hey, the reason that they stayed then and the reason that they're here now is because some point in their life they said, hey, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And I promise you, if you'll make that decision, when you come to the end of your life, you will never regret that. Man, I remember Joshua, not only Joshua, but I remember Esther. In the book of Esther, you know, she was going to go before the king because the nation of Israel was going to be wiped out. And she said, you know what? I'm going to see the king. And here's what she said. If I perish, I perish. You know what? She just made up her mind. How about Ruth and Naomi? Remember Naomi had gone down into Moab and her sons had married these Moabite women and they had died. And now Naomi is going to go back to the nation of Israel. And when she decides to go back, she gets Ruth and Orab and she says, you know what? I'm going back. You go back to your houses and you find some Moabite men to marry. And Omri, she did that. But Ruth said, you know what? Your people are my people. Your God is my God. You know what? Because she made that decision, she is in the line and the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? She just made up her mind. I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what. And I'm telling you what we need in this day and age is that we need people, especially young people and young married couples, we need you to make up your mind. You know what? I'm serving the Lord. I don't matter if it's good times or bad times. I am serving the Lord now. And I promise you, if you will do that, when you get to be old like me, you'll look back and say that is one of the best decisions that I have ever made in my life. They just said, hey, O king, we don't have to talk about it. We don't have to think about it. We have already made up our mind what we are going to do. The second thing is that you just have to leave the outcome to God. You just have to leave the outcome to God. Notice what it says in verse number 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery, burning fiery furnace. Skip down to verse number 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That's difficult right there. It's easy for us to read those passages because we know what the end of the story is going to be. But they are facing death. And they say, we're just putting ourselves in the hands of God. If God saves us and delivers us from the burning fiery furnace, that's okay. But if He doesn't, that is okay too. One of my favorite Old Testament passages of Scripture is Job chapter 13 and verse number 15. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. I was reading Warren Wiersbe this week and he had a commentary on this passage that was really unique. This is what he said. He said, the philosophy that says, God, I will serve you as long as I get my needs supplied, is the devil's philosophy of worship. Think about that. Let me read it to you again. The philosophy that says, God, I will serve you as long as I get my needs supplied, is the devil's philosophy of worship. He used the temptation of Christ in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 9 where it says, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. You see, that's what the devil does. Hey, if you'll worship me, I'll give you what you want. If you'll worship me, I will do this for you and I will do that for you. But the problem is he's a liar and when you fall in him, he is not going to give you what you thought you would get. Why do you serve the Lord? Do you serve the Lord because of the blessings upon your life? You see, if that's the reason you serve the Lord, there's going to be a time in your life when the blessings are not going to be there and you're just going to have to either quit or serve the Lord. And my friends, listen to me. We need to decide tonight. I'm putting myself in the hands of God. If He saves me, that's okay. And if He doesn't, that's okay. The third one is this. They place their confidence in God. Now, I know it's kind of like the first one, but when I was studying this week, I saw this passage and I thought, you know what, there's something to this. Notice back in verse number 17. He says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But notice this next statement. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. They knew exactly. God is going to deliver us. He may deliver us the way that the story ends up. They are thrown into the fiery furnace and the Lord Jesus Christ comes into that fiery furnace. I believe it is the Lord Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ that comes in there and He takes them out of that fire and their clothes do not smell like smoke or anything. They are not burned. That is one of the ways that the three Hebrew children thought in their minds that God may do that. But they also understood that the way that they might be delivered was death. Please don't misunderstand what I'm fixing to say. But when has death become the enemy of the church? I mean, the worst thing that we think can happen to us is if we die. But you know what the Bible says? Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Blessed are those that die in the Lord, for they shall rest from their labors. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 went to the third heavens. He got to see what you and I are going to experience when we close our eyes in this world. And when he came back, he wrote in the book of Philippians, I'm in a strait betwixt. I want to go to heaven, but I also know it's needful for me to stay here. And he writes this, he says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Can I tell you, I don't have a death wish. I don't want to see anybody die. But I'm telling you, it's not the worst thing that happens to Christians. My mother, just a little over 3 years ago, died. I have to be honest with you, I didn't know how I'd live without my mother. She was my biggest cheerleader. She was my biggest encourager in my life. Anytime that I was down or something, I could call my mother, and I'm telling you what, she could encourage me and lift me up like nobody else. But I'm telling you, when I preached her funeral, I didn't preach it in a manner that it was the worst thing in life. She was with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if we're going to stand, death can't be the worst thing. We got to have confidence in God. God, you may spare us now, or you may deliver us when we go to heaven. I've told you this story. I heard Jerry Thorpe tell this story about 20 years ago. He told the story about in an Asian country, and I can't remember the country. I was trying to think of it of this week, but I couldn't think of it. But the story is that it was in a communistic country, and the gospel could not be preached, but yet there was a couple that had gone into that town, and they had started ministering. They had started sharing the gospel. People began to get saved, and they were having an underground church, and that church began to grow. The government found out that they were doing those things and they thought they were going to make an example of them. And so they pulled them into the town square. They got big bulldozers and they dug a big old hole and they brought this pastor, his wife, and his little children out front, and they brought all of the townspeople together, and the government officials threatened this pastor, said, if you don't disavow the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't turn your back on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to kill you and we are going to kill your family. The story is that pastor began to look around at all those people that he had won to the Lord Jesus Christ. He looked at all those people that were part of that church, and he looked at his dear family, his wife and his children that was there, and tears began to come down their cheeks. And just as he began to speak, his wife reached up and put her hand on his lips and told those children, said, "You be quiet, because tonight we are eating with the King of Kings." I'm a soldier in the army of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Spirit is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are my weapons of warfare. I've been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I'm a volunteer in this army, and I'm enlisted for all of eternity. I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. I am a soldier. I'm not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primped up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I am a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me, because I am a soldier. I'm not a wimp. I'm in the place saluting my King, obeying His orders, praising His name, and building His kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cars, or candies, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. If I ended up with nothing, I will still come out ahead. I will win. My God has and will continue to supply all of my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. The devil cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. For when my commander calls me from his battlefield, he will promote me to captain and then allow me to rule with him. I am a soldier in the army, and I am marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier marching heavenward. Bam. Will you be the one? Lord, we love you tonight. And Lord, I pray that before we leave this place tonight, even though this is the faithful of the faithful of the Bible Baptist Church, God, I pray that coming 2021, Lord, that I believe there's going to be new challenges. I believe there's going to be new obstacles for not only churches, but I believe for Christians. God, tonight I pray that you'd help us to make up our mind tonight that we're going to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to stand for preachers of the Word of God. And God, we're going to stand for the gospel no matter what. God, I pray that we would be an army for you. God, I pray that you'd touch our hearts. I pray that you'd move amongst us tonight. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Would you stand with me tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed, Martha and Linda?